Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As a young boy, despite being told by my mother to immediately go to sleep, I lay hidden under my blanket with a flashlight while I read my Spider-Man comic book. As I turned to the back of the comic book, my imagination was captivated by an advertisement which invited me to, quote, enter the wonderful world of amazing live sea monkeys. The colorful ad showed a sea monkey mom and dad with their children happily playing near an underwater castle. And this ad promised for a mere $1.25 plus another 30 cents for shipping, I would be able to instantly raise sea monkeys. They would be amazing. They would even be trainable, the ad promised. In the morning, I excitedly clipped the coupon, collected the necessary change from my piggy bank, and I mailed it in. For weeks, I impatiently waited and anticipated the arrival of my sea monkey eggs. My imagination was filled with expectations of just how awesome these sea monkeys would be. As many of you are now guessing, evident by the grins on your faces, you know that my unrealistic childhood expectations about sea monkeys were crushed when they arrived. As it turns out, sea monkeys is just a clever marketing ploy to take money from children's piggy banks. Sea monkeys are only brine shrimp, tiny, barely visible sea creatures. Basically, it's fish food. They were not that exciting. All they did was swim in tiny little circles, and the cheap plastic container looked nothing like was shown in the advertisement. Sea monkeys did not meet my expectations. The novelty wore off quickly. And the list of childhood comic book ad expectation failures is long. X-ray glasses, build your own Polaris submarine, the handheld pocket hypnotizer, all failed in their delivery of expectations and fell short of the reality mark. We are no strangers to expectations. Parents have certain expectations of their children. Parents expect children to be obedient and to be respectful. And likewise, children expect their parents to be loving and to provide for them. And these are certainly good and right expectations. But expectations can be dangerous as well. We set expectations on other people and form perceptions and judgments based on our expectations of others. But others will never live up to our expectations, and we will never live up to theirs. Our bodies and minds, which are corrupted by sin, let us down every time. The people who followed Jesus in his earthly ministry were no exception. They also had expectations. They had certain expectations of Jesus. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. The people know that Jesus heals the sick. And Jesus has healed many people in his ministry. Why should they expect anything different? Their immediate expectation is that Jesus will heal this man's body. But Jesus defies their expectations. Instead of healing this man right away, he does an unexpected and shocking thing. Jesus saw their faith and he answered, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Wait, what? That's not what we were expecting. Instead of healing, Jesus forgives this man's sins. This paralytic has every reason to be brokenhearted and downtrodden. He has lived a life of hardship. He's had to rely on family and friends to take care of him, perhaps even reduced to begging. But Jesus gives him hope. "Take heart," he says, and he heals his soul by forgiving his sin. In the crowd are scribes. And scribes take their job very seriously, this job of preserving Scripture. They would copy the Bible meticulously, counting letters and spaces to ensure each copy was correct. And thanks be to God for the Jewish scribes who preserved the Old Testament for us. But the scribes went beyond the interpretation of Scripture. They became specialists in spelling out the letter of the law while ignoring the spirit of the law. Typical works righteousness. See, the scribes believed that this paralytic had sinned against God so deeply that he deserved to be paralyzed. The scribes also had their expectations of Jesus. Their expectation is that he is a rabbi, a teacher, not a healer. Neither does Jesus meet their expectations of Messiah. They expect the Messiah will be a great king who will free them from Roman oppression and usher in a glorious earthly reign. But now, he dares to forgive this paralytic who deserves this present suffering and paralysis? Why, only God himself can forgive sins. This is blasphemy. But Jesus challenges their expectations. He saw their lack of faith, and he knew their hearts. And even though they didn't say it out loud, Jesus knows their unfaithful and sinful hearts doubt his authority to forgive sins. So Jesus calls them out and he says, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'?" And then he one-ups the scribes and he shows them his divine authority. He turns to the paralytic man and he says, "Rise. Pick up your bed and go home." And the man was healed for all to see. He gathered up his bedding, he got up, and he walked home. We can only imagine the stunned and shocked look on the face of the scribes. If Jesus had not healed this paralytic, then his authority to forgive sin would have been false. But the miracle settles the matter. In the presence of the people and the scribes, Jesus proved his divine authority to forgive and to heal in the realm of mankind. Only the Son of God, God made flesh, has this authority on earth. Like the scribes, we also think that we are more worthy than others. We feel we deserve the good things in life, not suffering. We often view others' suffering as something they deserve because they have offended God in some way. We feel that God's gifts are something we deserve, and we can win God's favor with our works. Some like to call it paying it forward. Paying it forward is just a clandestine reference to karma. And karma is a sinful and wicked adoption of Eastern pagan religion that has permeated our culture. Karma is not a Christian belief, but it is a lie from Satan himself. The triune God does not punish or reward his children based upon their good works. There is no heavenly point system. Good works serve our neighbor, not to influence or gain salvation from God. It is true that in our lives that sickness and sin are inextricably connected. Only sinners get sick. And sin is ultimately the root of all human suffering, need, and death. Old Adam leads us to believe that God is not just and we should not suffer. But the truth is, we deserve suffering, and we do not deserve the good things in this life. We deserve eternal damnation and death. Any good that comes to us in this life is a gift from God alone. And Jesus, who is the innocent Lamb of God, is the only one who did not deserve to suffer. Yet he chose to go to the cross and suffer and to die for you. In our sufferings, we should rejoice, because it is through suffering that God sharpens us, disciplines us, and gives us hope. Our suffering on earth is only temporary, and you will not suffer eternally because of Christ and his work. It is because of Christ's suffering and death upon the cross and his victorious resurrection that you have been healed, body and soul, of the most deadly disease of all, sin. And Jesus calls out to you, "Rise, my son." And he calls you son because he has restored your eternal inheritance and reconciled you to God the Father. Only God can see our hearts, and they are not filled with Christ. We approach God in times of suffering from the expectation that he will fix our problems immediately. We expect God to do certain things for us, and our sinful expectations lead us away from God. We want them fixed, and we want them fixed right now. Instant gratification. In the text, Jesus does not heal the paralytic immediately. Instead, he sees faith and forgives the sins of the paralytic first. And Jesus forgave the paralytic and healed him because he saw faith. Faith looks to God for the healing of sin, and it is what we need the most. God continues to give us his gifts of forgiveness and life, which are received in faith. He bestows his gifts to us in the sacraments. In baptism, the water combined with the word gives you forgiveness of sins. At the altar, the bread and wine combined with God's word give you forgiveness of sin. And these are received from God through the gift of faith. And Jesus continues to exercise his authority to forgive sins on earth by the mouth of the pastor. In Jesus' stead and by his command, Christ has given his authority to men, our pastor, to forgive our sins and to proclaim God's holy absolution. And this is just as valid and just as certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, had dealt with us himself. Therefore, let us give thanks to God that he does not give us what we deserve for sin. For Jesus did not come for the righteous, but for sinners. Our expectations may be low, but instead he gives us life and salvation. In Christ Jesus, all expectations have been fulfilled on the cross and his resurrection. Jesus came and took all your weakness and infirmities of body and soul, and he has suffered in your place, and he has healed the most deadly disease of all. Christ Jesus has restored your eternal inheritance with the Father, and on the last day, with the healing and resurrection of your bodies, he will say to you, "Rise, my son," and he will absolve and heal forever all whose faith looks to him. In the name of Jesus. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.